progressive that are pro-European, for example, towards research and cure are being considered not useful here in the United States. So, do you know anything about that?
I know a great deal about it, but I think it might be a little off the topic. Donsbach did a lecture recently. I have a copy of the tape in the car right now.
Uh-huh.
In which he says that it wouldn't be popular to use hydrogen peroxide as a cancer cure because there's no profit in it. He himself.
Yes, I heard that statement. Exactly.
And so that, I think, sums it up very well. Thank you for bringing up the point.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, John. And Norm, you're on.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Beck used the word iatrogenic, right?
Maybe I mispronounced that.
Well, how do you pronounce it? What was the word you used?
Iatrogenic.
Iatrogenic. I mispronounced it.
Okay, it starts with the letter I. I'm sure of that.
I didn't say it, so I'm innocent here.
I want to tell you that I'm a perfect example of iatrogenic results of medical action.
You're not alone.
And it's resulted in several things. Now, my name is Norm, and I'm 72 years old. But I'm very young, 72.
Very good.
And right. I'll tell you that, you know, I have lived for 37 years in a wheelchair. And did all my career in a wheelchair. And I've done very well. And this is the result of what we call suspected polio.
Oh, yes.
They really didn't know that it was. And it would be kind of interesting if the application of your electromagnetic theories could produce results that would eliminate this so-called thing from my body. I mean, a man of my age suddenly having nerve reactions that he never had before.
I believe this is possible. I have seen results in animal studies where this has been done. In other words, it might be the end to problems with paraplegics, etc. The problem here is that the FDA requires many years of animal studies before what is called a Class 3 permit for limited human experimentation on adults with informed consent is permitted, and then after the clinical trials, it may or may not be accepted by the mainstream. Now, there are a number of very good reasons why these devices, which do restore nerves and do restore brain tissue, might not be used for a bit, and that is that the doctor using any type of unconventional therapy would be liable. And his liability insurance simply wouldn't cause any accidents that could accrue to an unconventional treatment. So we can understand that a doctor, in trying to preserve his reputation and his assets, would not want to use some of this new experimental technology. I'm in sympathy with him, but on the other hand, I feel the restrictions are a little bit rigid, and it is stifling a lot of this new age research.
Well, I have several objectives in this call. Number one, to learn more about the subject you're talking about, because I'm completely ignorant. And two, perhaps to find some practitioner who uses this approach who might want to use me as a...
Okay, you would almost have to go offshore. You would have to go to Mexico. I really recommend that if you're anyone out there who's interested in this, get this marvelous book, The Body Electric, by Dr. Robert O. Becker, B-E-C-K-E-R.
I'm writing this down.
The Body Electric.
The Body Electric.
Robert O. Becker, M.D. He was chief of orthopedic surgery at the Syracuse Veterans Hospital, and when he discovered that he could grow limbs back... etc., most of his research grants were cut off. I think you'll find the book a fascinating commentary on our politics and economics of medicine as it is today.
Now, why did they cut off his research grants if he could start growing limbs back?
It was controversial.
Oh, I see.
What was his last name?
B as in boy. B-E-C-K-E-R.
Uh-huh.
No relation. I'm Robert Beck. He's Robert L. Becker.
Right.
He's a very, very good man, and I think that would be your entry-level...
To read about that.
Yes.
All right, then I want to bring up another subject related. Recently, I mean, while I've been getting along very well, and, you know, if you take on the philosophy that has really been adopted by Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, to accept the things you cannot change and have have the wisdom to know what you...
I understand.
You know, which I follow this principle. All of a sudden, I had, on November the 11th, an operation on a cataract. And the operation was very successful. I mean, I can see 20/30 out of that eye. But it's completely uncomfortable, and the doctor says, well, you're just going to have to live with it because there's nothing we can do about it except if we took the implant out, and that's very dangerous. Well, is there anything I can do using your science?
There probably is, but if I mentioned it, I would be practicing medicine without a license. And
is there anybody I can go to?
Why don't you read the book that I recommended, and then maybe we can talk again sometime.
On this program?
Yeah, he tells, no, not on the eyes, but just the way the body reacts to electricity.
No, I mean, how can I talk to you again?
Well, leave your telephone number with the operator,
right,
and I'll pick it up on the way out in about 40 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
right.
you for calling.
Thank
right.
you.
And just keep up the good fight in there, Norm.
Thank you.
All right. Marilyn.
Yes, hi, Bill.
How are you?
I really hadn't gone away since they happened with the phone. I heard you. I heard you mentally. Dr. Beck, I don't know whether this is going to sound kind of strange, but I've noticed something when I meditate or when I'm just very quiet and reading a book or whatever. I tend to hear like a high-pitched beeping sound in my right ear. That sounds lost. The only way I can explain it is like in elementary school when you used to have to take a hearing test. And they'd turn on the pitches and go higher and higher, you know. But it was just a straight sound. But this is almost like a Morse code. It's like dot, dot, dash, dot, dot, dot. You know, I mean, it almost makes me want to find out if it's a code or something.
Well, the first thing to do is to find out whether it's inside of your head.
It's in the inner ear.
Tinnitus, Meniere's syndrome, you could check that with certain vitamins. But the easiest way is simply to put your finger in that ear to stop out. Of course, you've already done this. You're determining, you have determined it's coming from inside your ear,
mm-hmm.
not from the environment.
No.
That's fascinating.
And it's really when I'm quiet, when I'm meditating, and it's not something that is uncontrollable as far as overpowering, because I can close it out if I want. It's not an irritating thing.
Marilyn, is it a single pitch or does it vary? In other words, does the pitch, is there a pitch that's interrupted or does it go?
This has been sound effects night.
I could whistle when I came.
Well, no, it's more or less a single pitch. Maybe it might go up a little bit, but it's more or less a steady pitch. It's just that it's really when I'm meditating, though. It's not just a regular thing that happens all the time.
Strangely,
it's like a spiritual experience, as far as I'm concerned.
There's a whole new theory, and we don't know whether it's good or bad, that there is a continual pitch going on in the ear against which the outside sounds are compared for phase, and this is the holoscopic or holographic sound tape that you've seen at a number of the New Age fairs that is so realistic that you feel you're actually hearing the sound behind your head or in front of it or left or right. And we understand that one way that this is produced is that on the tape is reproduced this exact sound, or what we think might be the sound that you're describing. And your ear compares all the other sounds to this and gives a much better sense of direction. Now, maybe in your enhanced state of consciousness, you're aware of something that would normally just be in the background.
Yeah, that's more or less what it is, because I kind of tune in on it.
Right.
It's not that, it may be there all the time, but it's kind of like when I'm very quiet and in a meditative state or whatever.
Yeah,
I am aware of it then.
I can still whistle 2.6 kilohertz. We used to do this to the telephones to get a free call, but it'd be about half an octave above that.
But no free call here today.
No free
call, sir. I used to sing coloratura arias, F sharp above high C, and I would say that it's around... C, not high C. I mean the middle.
Do you know that in terms of hertz, what frequency that would be? We know 440. 440 is middle C.
No.
Okay. I'll have to look that
up. An octave above.
So
it's the octave below high C.
Okay, that would be around 1800 hertz.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be quite possible that that's something that goes on all the time in all of us, and we're not aware of it most of the time.
Except whenever you get hit on the head.
You know? Thanks a lot, Bill.
Science has come a long way tonight.
If you've had too much to drink.
No, it's not that. Okay, well, I'm just curious.
I wish I knew a ready answer to that, Marilyn.
All right.
Okay, Marilyn, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You're an open mind tonight. My guest is Dr. Robert Beck. We're talking about things scientific, way out on the outer edge of it. And if you want to know something that's going on that's new and most likely controversial, you've come to the right spot to ask the question.
Gee, I used to think it was C, but don't quote me. Premature senility is set in here tonight.
Uh-huh. We're going to have to scare
you. Old-timer's disease, they say.
Right.
I went to one of your workshops, Dr. Beck, and picked up a small, about the size of two or three match books or old-fashioned match boxes, the little ones. And it was about $350, and I brought it home and read the directions and dipped the tips in salt water and put it on. And what's it supposed to do?
Sounds like the brain tuner.
Yeah, that's the brain tuner. What it is, what it actually does, is it puts out a bundle of energies that will stimulate the body's production of neurotransmitters, basically beta endorphin, etc. And these have been used in the Soviet Union for about 30 years as a specific cure for anxiety, depression, insomnia, and addiction. And people have had absolutely marvelous success with these things. We have stacks and stacks of clinical tests, but we don't want to go into that right now because that, again, is another device which we're no longer doing that is not currently approved by the Food and Drug Administration. If you have any questions about that, would you call that magic number in Santa Monica that I'm sure you have, and we'll talk to you about it off the air. Or wait, why don't you leave your number again with the operator, and I'll pick it up on the way out and give you a call in the morning, and we can go into that in great detail if you'd like.
That would be very good.
I'd be delighted to do that.
One other thing. During the course of your lecture, you were showing again things since, I guess, the late 1900s. That someone put together, and the AMA or the FDA came in and smashed it up. But after they stopped doing that, you repeatedly said, now so-and-so did this, and the medical society said it wouldn't work, it was no good, but and then you'd say it worked. And then you say another one, and it worked. By it worked, what did you mean? That the lights went on, or that it really did what it was supposed to be manufactured for?
Yeah, it does exactly what it was manufactured for. At the time, they felt that this the emissions of these devices, the original work came under generically the term electronic medicine by Alfred Abrams, who died in the early 1920s, was taken up by Copen, Delaware, Malcolm Ray in Great Britain, Ruth Drown, Galen Hieronymus, and others in this country. Surprisingly enough, a lot of these devices are currently being used in agriculture, and they either work surprisingly well or not at all. And there again, there are a number of variables, and if you'd like, why don't you come around to some of our free U.S. Psychotronics Association meetings and sit in. There are a lot of people interested in these subjects, and you'd meet the rest of your family. And these come up for discussion regularly, and we network with the people who are on the, what we feel, the cutting edge of the research in this area. And there again, many of these concepts are not yet accepted by conventional academic scientists, and a number of them are. So I believe we were talking at that time about the general area of psychotronics, radionics, etc.
Right.
And how these devices can interact with some types of fields out there, perhaps scalar. I hate to use these buzzwords without a rigid definition. But I know from my own direct experience that they can be exceedingly successful where everything else has failed in altering a condition.
So maybe I can use it on my rosebuds.
I don't know. There are probably people out there.
Rosebuds need all the help they can get.
Is that Carl with a K or a C?
With a C.
C.
Okay, Carl?
Yes.
All right. Cat's one of the seminars then. And we have Kathy on the line. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, good evening. Glad to be on your show.
I'm glad to have you aboard.
Great. I just have a couple questions for Dr. Becker.
Mrs. Becker. Becker's the other
one. I wish
guy.
I were Becker.
Becker's
that's
the other one.
That's a compliment.
regarding, you were speaking of the electromagnetic field earlier, and just in relation to that, I'd like to ask, have you any comments on, like, we have an emphysema victim in our household here, and just wondering if there would be anything that we might do to utilize that towards the healing.
Did the person smoke?
Not any longer, but yes.
Well, then I would call that suicide, not a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
Bill is scowling at me here.
Yeah,
there are some things which apparently...
Smoke every now and then.
Right. have you tried using a negative ion generator?
No, we haven't.
An inexpensive negative ion generator, typically $19 to $20, would knock a lot of the particulate matter, the pollens, dusts, etc., out of the air, would restore what's left of the cilia, and perhaps, in a way, aid breathing. Emphysema is considered sort of terminal. There's not much you can do about it once you have it. And here again, I don't want to practice medicine without a license on the air. But it just might be that the person smoked, and that's very, very, very common, and that person might be one of the 350,000 or so persons who die each year because they smoked.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to generate the body to rejuvenate those cells?
Yes, there is. But there again, take a look at the Robert O. Becker book.
Okay.
So much of this information is just now emerging into the mainstream. It had been the domain of private researchers doing their little things in their little attics. But now I think the tidal wave is in our favor.
It's been taken more seriously now.
Yes.
Very seriously. If you listen to the top of the show, we had Dr. Hunt on, who was talking
yes,
in these areas and the research that she's been doing, which has been is considerable.
I'm looking forward to all of that.
She's done very excellent original work. And, of course, she was quite controversial several years ago. And now she is a heroine.
Yeah.
Hello, Valerie.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy?
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Appreciate your call. And, Craig, you're on.
Yes. Dr. Beck?
Yes.
A number of years ago, I started out believing in any of this stuff. And I... going into sleep and coming out of sleep, I'd go into these states of mind where, you know, I'd get astral projection and chakras who would
right.
turn on all this stuff.
You went out of body?
Yeah. Several times. And I get that a lot. A couple of times in particular, I got that sound that you played on the tape, and I want to know more about that, and I want to maybe get a hold of a tape like that.
Okay, the tape itself won't do much for you.
Oh, I see.
It's part of a system. What you do is you put electrodes on your head so you can monitor your EEG, your normal brain waves, and the amplified brain waves are superimposed on a frequency. We use about 2 kilohertz because it's convenient. You can tape record it on any pocket cassette unit for $20. And then when you can match the sound of your own modulated brain wave to the frequency that you heard on the tape, you have sort of trained your brain to go into that hypnagogic or morphogenetic field or into the hologram where the coherent radiation is getting a little more detail than you would if you were using an incoherent brainwave signal. Nobody even knows what electricity is, but we can do a lot of things with it. And that tape was made on a very accurately controlled audio oscillator at exactly 7.83 hertz, which we believe is the magic number that turns on altered states of consciousness rapidly without spending 20 years in a Zen monastery or doing psilocybin cubensis or LSD or what have you. In other words, this is a normal, natural, organic way to tell your brain, let's look down this corridor instead of some other, and we're likely to see a higher level of consciousness. Now, there are reasons why you don't want to do that, because you will begin finding you have remote viewing talents and you're reading your friends' minds and what have you, but that's another story.
Another show.
Right. Yeah, we'll be back.
I wanted to develop myself along these lines, but also, could you maybe tell me about your seminars and and how I can get into them?
All I can tell you is that I got conned by Paul Andrews into doing three or four of these, and they were an incredible hassle because we had to prepare so much material for the visuals and the research and the electronic instruments that we use to demonstrate, to give people back to themselves, deliver them from the hands of another vested interest, that I swore I'd never do this again. I get many more gray hairs when I do seminars. But
you're going to do it anyway.
Well, you might want to call area code 213-393-9405 and talk to the people out there at Threshold and see what they have in mind next time. I promised them I'd do one more, but I might change my mind. Again, that's 393-9405.
Okay.
And ask Paul Andrews or whoever answers the telephone what we're going to be doing next time.
Okay. And would you have any other parting shots of what kind of information I should seek out for helping myself develop along these lines?
Well, you're talking to somebody who has done them all. I think for about the last 40 years, I've fluttered around every guru and ism and ology that's come by, and I've discarded about 99% of the stuff and gone back to the electromagnetic spectrum and instrumentation as what I feel to be the most promising. Now, if you're listening to KPFK and Terrence McKenna, he's recommending psilocybin, and if you listen to somebody else, he's recommending meditation, or you could be a born-again Christian or whatever, but we believe that if you start looking at the actual electromagnetic events going on within your own biosphere and learning to control these, that you're getting an awfully lot closer to where you want to be.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Beck.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Craig.
It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me tonight is Dr. Bob Beck. Bill Jenkins, and on the line is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Dr. Beck. About over a year and a half ago, I was listening to a local Los Angeles pastor who was talking about Dr. Nikola Tesla. And he was mentioning his lighting up of a whole city or transferring electricity without any use of wires and possible applications of this in regards to, say, the refueling of nuclear submarines and pods and antipodes and possible changes in the weather due to either very high frequency or very low frequency transmitters.
That may have been Gene Scott, who was working from a place of limited knowledge, and yes, I'm familiar with this. And the work was done at Boulder, Colorado, by Tesla at about the turn of the century, and the work was discontinued around 1910. And he had very, very high voltage Tesla coils, they were called, resonating transformers. And he could transmit some energy for considerable distances. But, of course, there were bad side effects to this, and that this energy was going through human nervous systems and charging electric fences. It would be devastating if there were any aircraft in the area, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, Chris, I need to correct myself here. It is A440. So forgive me for thinking that was C a minute ago. And yes, Tesla was working on what he felt was a system that basically would charge in an oscillating fashion the ionosphere of the Earth, and using the Earth itself as the ground plane, anyone with a proper antenna could then couple into this Earth ionosphere gradient and extract free energy. But my own personal experience, and I've been a Tesla buff for about 40 years at least, my own personal opinion is that it was not a very practical or viable system, although it is coming around again in popularity. It's sort of one of those mythical things that I don't believe would be practical as a reduction to practice today.
Now, I wouldn't have any problem finding information, say, in local libraries on this man, Mr. Tesla, would I?
There was, until recently, the Tesla Book Company up north, and most of these have wound up here in Los Angeles with Andy Anderson, who has the books of their entire collections of Tesla patents, and they're the Tesla patent covers, and these have been printed and reprinted, and I wonder if we should give out Andy's phone number for a source of books. No, let's not do that. You can find these in various bookstores. The Bodhi Tree has a lot of Tesla work. And
there's a lot of Tesla work over at Alexandria, too.
Right, very good.
They have complete works.
Excellent bookstore.
Yeah. Alexandria, too?
Yes, that's in Pasadena.
Colorado Boulevard.
Colorado and Rosemead. They're a good client of the show, by the way.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yes.
Well, let's go out there and buy her Tesla books.
I know that she did has an extensive collection of stuff from Tesla. In fact, she got a lot of it from John.
Even Batchelor. Videotapes, right.
Yeah. Videotapes, the Nikola Tesla movie is there.
Right.
You can see that.
All
the
right.
one that starred Orson Welles. That's
yeah, that's an excellent idea, Chris.
Well, thank you very much for your help.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good to have you aboard. And we have Maggie on the line. Hello, Maggie.
Hello there.
How are you?
Good evening.
Good
I've
evening.
I've really been enjoying your program for the last couple of months. I've started tuning in to Open Mind.
Well, thank you.
And I believe it was last week I discovered you were a Texas Aggie.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you are hearing from a Tessie from Denton.
There you go.
I'm going down next.
All of my sweethearts are up in Denton.
Uh-oh. I'm class of 51.
Class of 55.
Uh-oh. I'm going down to the Texas Sesquicentennial Centennial to homecoming next month.
Okay. Say hello to all of the Aggies and the Tessies, of
course. Oh, yes. Okay. Now, I'm a layperson who has been in studying with Dr. Noble here in Orange County with an awareness class. And we've experimented with meditation and hypnosis and so on, and I've attended a lot of workshops. Are you familiar with the work that Dr. Leonard Bell does with pyramid energy?
Are you talking about Fred Bell?
Yes.
Not Leonard, okay. Yes.
Fred, I'm sorry.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay, well, I have been sitting here this evening with the program with one of Dr. Bell's copper pyramids on my head and doing these little exercises.
I was wondering if you were going to be wearing one of his pyramids.
Yeah,
yeah, we've seen him walking up and down the aisle.
Well, I had something interesting happen, and since there are no accidents, I thought I'd better call in and find out. I've been sitting here, and about, approximately 8 feet from me is our smoke alarm. And all of a sudden, it went off.
Uh-oh, change your battery.
Were you smoking?
No, there is no battery. I took the cover off, and I tried to find a battery, and there isn't any.
Sometimes they're sort of disguised. They're lithium batteries or other types of things that don't look like down-home batteries. And failing that, maybe you should donate your body to science.
Well, I've been told I need to use a lead shield around me because I've had all kinds of electrical things going wrong.
I take that pyramid off.
I think I'd take that pyramid and put it somewhere else.
Well, I looked on the reading on the, and it said ionization detector. And I thought, well, I'm going to call in and see if there's some correlation to this.
All right.
Perhaps. Was there?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Sorry about that.
Now, the pyramid and detecting ions in the air, which is what that smoke detector is doing, I don't see that. There would be too much there.
We've just taken a vote. Sorry about that, Maggie.
Okay, well, it was interesting. I couldn't pass up the chance to call in.
Well, thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
I want you to wear that pyramid whenever you go back to the homecoming.
I may.
They'll know you're from Southern
they'll
California.
They'll know you came from California.
I'm sure they will. Thank you very much.
Okay, Maggie,
I'm enjoying the show.
All right.
Good night.
And George.
Yeah.
You're on.
Yeah, because I got in here late, and I just turned the radio on when you were talking about the hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
And I really didn't hear too much about it. However, I had three different operations on me. They keep cutting and cutting, and now they says, well, you're all healed up. You better go up and get your radiation treatment now. Well, I don't know. I'm scared of that radiation, and I never did show up. And so I thought if I could find out a little bit more about this peroxide from you.
Okay, tell you what I'm going to do, George. If you'll leave your number with the desk, I'll send you some absolutely free information on it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And I was in Minnesota about 4 weeks ago at the Minnesota Health Federation, and I met about five or six people that a few years ago had incurable cancer, and now they're fat and sassy and healthy and clean biopsies, and they attribute this all to simply ingesting a few drops of food-grade 35% hydrogen peroxide in a glass of water for a couple of months. Now, I find that terribly exciting, but there again, I can make absolutely no medical recommendations, either now off the air or anywhere, but there's a lot of this in the literature. And we'll send you a packet of it. I don't do this. I don't sell it. I don't push it. I just try to give people information that might be of assistance to them.
Yeah, the doctor cut me the last time. He cut a big gash in me, and so then he had me use peroxide, you know, swab it out.
Right. But this is taken internally, and apparently the free oxygen molecule, many of these internal problems from Candida albicans, etc., are apparently anaerobic. And when you raise the systemic oxygen a little bit, there are several ways of doing this. Hyperbaric oxygen, where you stay inside of a pressure chamber and you breathe pure oxygen at elevated pressures for a while, but that costs a lot of money. And the simplest way is, oh, for 62 pennies a month, that's about 2 cents a day, you can ingest the food-grade peroxide, highly diluted, by the way.
Which one?
I'll send you some of the free information, and it's not my information.
Uh-huh.
I got it from an outfit in Minneapolis, and I think it works.
Yeah, what's that Candida albertage you mentioned?
Well, Candida is a type of fungus that lives in all of us, and when it flares up, can mimic any number of other conditions. There are books available at the health food bookstores.
Can you give me a list or anything when you say on?
Well, just ask for the books on Candida when you go to the various bookstores that were mentioned on the show, and I'm sure you can find that information in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
I find it extremely exciting because a lot of close personal friends of mine have done this, and they're better.
Uh-huh. And you did take a few drops of the 35% peroxide in a glass of water.
Right.
For a couple months.
Yep. And they tell you how to start out with about 3 drops a day, and you work up to about 50 drops a day, and then you work back down again, and that should have taken care of a lot of chronic infections and other conditions. But here we are talking about medical things again, and I promised myself I wouldn't do it tonight. Forgive me, folks. Forgive me, FDA, but this is my First Amendment constitutional right of freedom of speech, and we're not practicing medicine.
Yeah. Do you want me to leave my number, name a number? Or?
If you do that, George, I'll give you the exact titles. I'll get back to you about the middle of the week.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
for
George,
coming.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
And we're getting pretty close to being out of time here. I want to hear that frequency again. What do you...
All right, fasten your seatbelts.
All right, that frequency is doing what?
If you listen to this in one ear and listen to your amplified modulated brainwave in the other and match these two together, you may, if you're like most of the people who've done this, you may experience an out-of-the-body or expanded consciousness happening.
You mean that sound will help me go out of the body?
Not the sound, but your brainwave, when it matches this frequency, will probably be a very rapid way to get where you want to be.
Hmm. Let me just listen for that for a second. I'll do anything.
More calls on that switchboard.
Got it. Oh, there are a few coming in there. We may have time to get to one or two of them before it's all done. What about, Brad kind of processes those in there, the old woodpecker, the woodpecker signals. Are they still,
they're still here, but they don't seem to be quite as toxic as they were in 77, 78 when they were hitting Eugene, Oregon full force.
Yeah.
Let's save that for another show.
The woodpecker signals?
Right.
And Eugene, Oregon, has that mess cleared up there that they created?
Considerably.
Just cleared it up a little bit. Well, let's see. We'll try Florence. Florence, quickly.
Hello. I just wanted information about the literature that Dr. Beck mentioned.
Of the H2O2 in a very dilute form, 0.5%, if you're a stickler for accuracy, has apparently reversed a lot of incurable conditions. And I find this very exciting.
My daughter's in the field. I'm sure she would be interested. You're having people leave a name and address?
No, that was just for George, who had a very pressing problem. But if you go to the bookstore and ask for that book, all the information is in it.
What's great. The title?
And with that, we have to go,
honey. C-A-N-D-I-D-A.
Thank you.
We're out of time. Next week, it'll be Bob Burns and Ron Dexter. We're going to listen to music, okay?
KABC Talk Radio 79.